This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Family Matters, would you believe? Family Matters does karaoke.
Well, we might have a love song and dedication episode coming up, I hope, Jeff.
Now, Gina, we've been on air, and you're all the lovely brains of our show. 70 episodes we've been on air for.
Oh, my God.
And did you know that one of the shows we had a very, very fantastic co-presenter of one episode?
Well, that co-presenter of that episode is here with us in studio.
Supermum Jo Hurst, the author of The
Fabulous.
Gender Fairy.
Oh, thank you very
Hello,
much.
Supermum.
Supermum. I don't know if my kids would agree with you there.
And you weren't brought in just to keep an eye on Dave and Beck because I didn't trust them. No,
oh, yeah.
that wasn't the plan at all, was it?
And we've got Mama Mish back in the studio now
Mama
as
Mish.
Well.
I'm here, yes.
Mama Mish, very excited to have you, Mama Jo, here in the studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us on this very special episode.
Oh, thank you for asking me for such a special, special episode. I'm absolutely honoured. I don't know what parenting advice I'm going to be able to give you apart from run. No, I'm just kidding.
Rum,
I'm just kidding.
Rum? Yes, rum.
Rum. Yeah.
We have talked a lot about gin and ouzo thus far.
Okay, so you've got all the important points there.
Yes, how to settle myself before I settle the baby. Clearly no alcohol.
Now, Mama Mish, you're a mother of two.
Yes.
What's your secrets?
To be honest, finding your inner calm. Like I've been known as like the baby whisperer, so I'll just go and grab them. And sometimes they can just really detect your calmness.
Oh, speed dial.
And so I'm just like, I've taken babies off of other dads who have been absolutely like rocking the baby and ready to go. And just give them to me. Woosa. You know, so yeah, it's really just being calm.
But yeah.
The big thing for me, what I remember, and it stands out so clearly, is I remember when they were born and they were put in my arms. And that will stay with you for the rest of your life. You just close your eyes and you just take yourself back there.
Really scared. Apparently they're really little.
They are.
They're really little.
Honestly, I was terrified. I was honestly terrified. I remember before I had my first baby thinking, am I going to love this baby as much as I love a puppy? Like, I honestly had no...
I'm worried about this.
Honestly, it's okay to feel that way. And don't put pressure on yourself. But when my first child was born, I just felt totally in love with him. But for some people, it takes time. So don't put pressure on yourself. That bond does grow over time. And if it's not instant, that's okay.
And I think by the time the child's 30 or 40 years old, I think you would probably love it by then.
You'll nail it.
Now, I know, you might be like me. Like, as soon as the kid was born, both of them, especially my oldest, I was pretty much like one of those pacing lions. I was like, everyone kept coming in the room, and I'm like, get out. I was just like, everyone was touching the baby, and it was like, pass the parcel, so.
I am super excited that we've got Jo, the lovely Mama Jo Hurst, in the studio. We'll be back with her in just a sec.
Welcome back to Family Matters. Are we back? What are we doing?
We are back.
Okay, great. So this is Mama Mish. I've got producer Gina. We've got the lovely Beck and Mama Jo. Now, Jo, we've had an amazing announcement within our community. The tea is getting a bit of love today. You're the mama, so please.
Oh, it's wonderful news for families like mine with trans kids like mine. The family court. Beck, help me out if I get
my
this
hood.
Wrong.
Yep,
your hood. Beck, the lawyer. The family court have ruled that transgender teens, if they have the consent of parents and their doctors, can not have to go to court anymore for hormones, which is really, really exciting.
That is
now
massive.
That is very massive.
That is massive.
Now, for those playing at home who probably don't understand why this is so big.
It's massive.
Beck, can you explain this to us?
Yeah, look, I'm going to do it in very simple terms, but there's two stages of treatment that transgender kids go through. The first stage is reversible and they don't need court approval for that. But up until today, to get stage two treatment, which is irreversible, even if their parents agree, even if the doctors say it's right, they've had to go to the family court and have a judge say that it's okay for them to have that treatment. So it's a huge day because my take as a lawyer is that these kids are going through enough, let alone having to have a judge decide on top of that.
And Beck, you and I understand the court process, me because I love someone who's a lawyer, you because you live it. It's not done. You're in, an appointment is made. It is not that simple. It is not cheap. And it is scary. Walking into a territory of a courtroom, for those who don't know it, is intimidating. It's scary, and frightening.
But it's also the very idea that you don't get the same rights as other children. Like your brothers and sisters, they don't have to go to court to go through puberty. It's just wrong. So the idea that now my child won't, he doesn't know that he would ever have had to go to court. And the idea of having to tell him that that was going to happen was horrifying me.
And people don't, like, and to really, really break it down, is the stage one is the hormone blockers. Mm. Which will kick in as soon as the child hits a certain stage of their beginning stages of the secondary or puberty. Then it's that second stage that Australia was the only country in the world that you had to go to court. So Joe, as a parent, you could not just go to your GP and say, I give permission for my child to go on this. They've already gone through their psychiatrist, psychologist.
Like any other medical treatment.
Exactly. Mm, yeah. You had no rights over your own child.
My child had no rights over their body.
Exactly. And so, and that's just it. Like, you didn't have a say, your child didn't have a say, and we're the only country in the world that had this, and this has gone through today. That's why this is so damn important.
I think it's such a huge day, and I think as lawyers, as, you know, having worked on these cases, working in a firm that does these cases, look, they're one of actually the nice things we get to do because there's a happy ending for kids in them, but we just hate that we have to do them. Yeah. So I think even from, you know, speaking broadly from the legal profession, we were also relieved. And I think there's a lot of judges that were relieved have to make these.
How many judges had come out and said, like, were saying, why would we disagree with the medical experts that have given this advice? Mm. We'd seen reports from judges that had come out and said that publicly.
Nobody wanted this in the courts. And I think it was just looking for a way that we could work around the legal system to get this to work.
Yeah.
But you'd see all these, like, phenomenal costs that would be coming down. We would hear about, like, what it would cost for children to go to court to get these approvals. Yes, there's pro bonos, but not often you'd see that. But then you'd hear about these sorts of things.
Yeah, and look, I have to say, we've always done it pro bono. Yeah, a lot of lawyers... Yeah.
I have to say that all of our kids have had pro bono. We've been really, really lucky because otherwise... Yeah. But it's the stress, it's the time.
It's not just the financial cost, it's emotional cost.
It's the time. And the fact that puberty is catching up with these kids, and puberty blockers don't always work for a certain amount of time. And if your blocker stops working and you're going into puberty and your court case is not coming up, imagine the stress that that's putting on a child.
I know, Mish, you and I were talking about this. Marriage equality outcome was relief. This outcome was excitement. This was something I want people to come up and say congratulations. This is news worth celebrating because this is amazing news for our children.
Our community as a trans community needed this. Yeah. After what happened with the yes vote, there were so many of us who just felt left going, okay, so now this is done. You can go get married. Now do your thing. Are you going to wave our flag too?
Totally.
And that's where we're going, okay, where do we go from here? So now look, and so to break down the process of a trans woman who goes, I have to go see my GP. I go see a psychiatrist. After so many sessions, the psychiatrist then writes me a letter. I go and get onto my, you know, cross-sex hormones. What are the processes now for the children? Where does this go from here and how do the processes change?
They are led by their doctor. So it just... they're treated by their doctors like anybody else. However, if two parents do not agree, these cases are still going to have to go to court.
Okay.
And also cases where children are in foster care are still probably going to have to go to court. And this is where we still have a lot of work to do. And I have to say, like you were saying, Michelle, we do need to focus more on trans rights. Marriage equality is a wonderful thing. And this judgment today is a wonderful thing. But we need so much more. This is just the start.
You know what we saw in the marriage equality debate? It had nothing to do with marriage. Who was thrown under the bus were our trans and gender diverse youth and our rainbow families.
That's right.
It had
the kids.
The debate that the was kids. Thrown at us had nothing to do with whether I could marry someone else. And that's what angered us, and that's what upset and frustrated us. And I'm still angry. I'm still furious.
Yeah, Magda Zabanski said something that really resonated with me. She said they threw so much mud hoping some of it would stick. And you know what? Some does. And now we have to work at unsticking that mud.
All of us have to.
Have to work at that.
You know me. I constantly just, I smile. I'm always trying to find a way to find some humor, and I'll still smile and find a way to find humor in every little thing we do. And I do take everything very serious. And not many people actually, you know, understand that the humor is my way of just coping.
I know, it's that self-deprecating humor. Yeah. You and I have both been caught on that.
But the thing is what's happened for me since the yes vote, up until even to this now as well, I'm feeling more angry and I'm feeling more hurt. And part of me is part of the reason why I buggered off to the States was I was sick of it. I was sick of the yes vote. And I really couldn't watch. And I just had, to disconnect and go eat fried chicken.
Well, because I think trans people were really left behind, like there was this whole kind of movement that really left the trans community behind.
Look. And they were the one, as we said, being thrown in front of the bus by some of those hideous campaigns that were at all those television ads. We know exactly, Joe, you probably got more publicity for the gender fairy, which, can I say, on a positive note, I have a copy of the gender fairy in the bookshelf that I have made for my newborn, and I'm beautiful. Looking forward to
reading. I will
come
and read it to your child when they're old enough to understand. I'll send you a copy of my new book.
even better. But that makes me excited to know that is there. That is there in my child's new bookshelf.
I'm pleased.
As is Introducing Teddy.
That's a lovely book.
They are gorgeous books. But unfortunately, you got more,
Well, let's just say,
is it good publicity or bad?
No, all publicity is not good publicity, unfortunately.
But when it comes to the trans community as well, as a parent of a trans child, and as a trans adult, in a lot of ways, I want to apologize to many of the parents, because you don't have many examples as trans adults to have your child look up to. Because most of the statistics, when you look at it in trans community, as a parent looking at your child comes out, you kind of go, well, great, my child is facing a rising number of trans rates, trans murder rates around the world. My child's facing a chance of prostitution. My child's facing a chance of unemployment. Me as a trans person, when it comes to dating, I probably, to be honest, this is the honest truth, I'll probably end up being single for the rest of my life because of this situation, because there's a lack of understanding. And so these are the things that these kids have to go through. But then to throw that court case on top of these kids, you're going, Jesus, this is not a great start.
And that's why I'm so excited. Recently, we mentioned it here, ABC did the Day of the Girl, and one of the shows that was shown included
Evie's show.
And it was just beautiful.
The first time a trans actor has been cast in a trans role in Australia, and they did it so beautifully and so sensitively.
Done really well.
Evie was fantastic.
Evie's just, and I actually ran into the director and producer of that TV show.
Did you?
Yes, at a conference recently where I fangirled Rose Troche to, absolute extreme. But I ran into her and she was saying how Evie was just an absolute natural.
They loved
Evie,
her. Yeah, she's got a big career ahead of her, that girl.
That was the word.
And you know what?
Out of there.
It's not about being trans. No, it's about being a really good actor.
Exactly. Yeah. She has got a great career ahead of her.
Exactly.
And that's
it's not
marvelous.
About being trans.
Exactly.
And I love that.
And here is a role model for other kids to see people like Evie at that age. That is amazing.
Yeah,
to see
fantastic.
Someone like Evie at that age representing the same way Georgie Stone is representing for other kids. So there was slowly.
There's so many young people coming up through the ranks.
Yeah.
And it gives me such a wonderful feeling to see all these kids.
And look, a lot of us older trans folk, we haven't given a good representation. We haven't given the chance to give a good representation. So the next generations that are coming through, like the under 25s that are all starting to really shine and grow and make names, I'm in a lot of ways, even though I'm looking down, I'm looking up to some of them as well because,
super exciting.
Every generation I notice is very different. There's the teenagers now don't know what it was like to be, what it's like for the primary age children now. And the primary age children now will not know what it's like for the ones being born now. It's changing so rapidly.
Oh, look, and even myself, when I came out, all my examples were a bunch of folks who were older, who had teenage to 20-year-old, children are older and they're, near retirement age or whatever. And I to find another trans parent who's in their 30s, who's got children who are under teenage years.
But you are here on Family Matters being a role model for other trans parents. And that's the goal. That's the hope for us, to be better role models for other people out there. Now, before we do cut to the ads, we were saying, Beck, that some kids will still need to go and see lawyers in certain situations. What is the best steps for a family? 20 words or less. How can they get help? Because I know Sarah and Nichols Law Firm are great supporters in this space.
Absolutely. So at Nichols Family Lawyers, we pride ourselves on this kind of work. So please get in contact with us, because as Jo said, even if, the doctors agree and all those sorts of things, there's going to be cases where we're going to have to work with parents who don't agree on the treatment for their children.
And that's the mediation stuff that you guys would do in the background.
Absolutely. But going to court if you need to, because those cases are still going to exist, because it's not uncommon for parents to disagree about this. But look, hopefully for the vast majority of kids, this is a really good thing.
But my question on that, though, is at what age does the child have the legal right to make that decision without both parents?
18,
Like right now, my kids, like if my oldest, even though I'm going through divorce and I've got a child who's 11, at a certain age, she can decide where she wants to live.
Yeah, look, what is that age?
Technically, parents have authority, for want of a better word, of their children till they're 18.
Okay.
And that's the same in foster care, because the foster carers, as we've interviewed here, the minute that kid is 18 is no longer in their care, which is sometimes heartbreaking when we meet these long, and mostly we've met long-term foster dads, that, they're no longer the carers of these children. Yes, they still stay connected with them, but 18 is the cutoff there. Mm. But look, we will be coming back with a little bit more lovely Italian Mama Jo Hurst just after this.
Ah, molto bene.
You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, we are breaking for holidays, so hence why you've got us for 2 hours and we give you some fabulous unsolicited parenting advice from some big expert parents here. We've brought in all the experts, and with us right now is the gorgeous Mama Jo Hurst. Welcome back, Mama.
Thanks, Gina. I just want to say, I think one of your biggest issues is going to be Greek grandparents. Can I just say that?
I know.
Yeah. Yes. How are they coping?
Look, you know, and I'd love to say it was seamless, that when Greek parents find out, you know what, my mum really took it hard when I came out.
Okay.
Right? So I didn't expect for her to be okay when I said, and now your lesbian daughter is going to have a baby.
Are you kidding? You're having a baby.
Thank you. So here was mum who rushed me to the GP when I was 16 to get me fixed when I came out. Didn't deal with that well. Say the word child. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She just was so excited. She was, not threatening, but she wants to quit her job so that she can stay home and raise this baby.
See, I understand this. Okay, because my mum.
I love your nonna.
My mum is Italian, a nonna, right? Nonna. So I grew up with a nonna and my kids have a nonna. There is nothing more important in my mum's life than her grandchildren. So I know that when we were in the hospital, she grabbed my newborn baby off my husband. And said, give him to me. I'll stop him crying, like literally out of his arms. And it's been like that ever since. I think, and the biggest problem is boundaries.
With
Italian and Greek grandparents.
Yeah.
Start getting your boundaries.
Oh, my God.
But you've got to love them.
Look, I've some unsolicited parenting advice. So I've gone to some of those LGBTI birth classes and they've actually said, and I've sat there going, actually, that's a brilliant idea. Don't tell anyone the correct date of when the baby is due. Give yourself a couple of days and don't answer the door. Pretend you're not home. I'm thinking that's
Gina,
fabulous.
That is not going to work. Your mother will have a sixth sense about this baby.
She will. I'm sorry. And you think you can hide anything?
I know. Your fridge will be stacked full of food.
If I don't call every day at 1 o'clock, the phone is ringing. My mum
But
goes,
you know what? You are going to be so grateful for her.
Exactly.
I could not have got through my children being so young without my mum, honestly.
Okay, we're ethnic.
Mm-hmm, we are.
Steph is kind of looking at it. Look, you're fabulous at this because you research this stuff for your work.
Ah.
But we have some weird traditions. You have cornuto, we have the evil eye.
Yeah.
Did you have to follow those things?
Look, I didn't.
Okay.
There's a lot of things I didn't do. thank goodness.
Because Nonna would have been upset had you not done some of these stuff.
You know, when I was born, because I was a girl, when I was 6 weeks old, my biz nonna held me down on the dining room table and pierced my ears.
Oh,
so saying, no, I was the only one of my cousins not to pierce. When I thought I had a baby daughter, yeah. I was the only one that didn't pierce my child's ears. Thank goodness.
Yes.
So now that's something irreversible. So there's a whole lot of traditions that I didn't follow.
There's a few that I know naturally I will. I think it's just the Greek in me. I think it's more cultural.
It's superstition,
I think. It is superstition more than it is faith. Mm. And, you know, my niece and nephew to this day dress themselves with a singlet inside out to ward off the evil eye.
Yeah.
Friends of mine will wear red because that attracts, and that's a Croatian superstition to ward off the evil
eye. I'm not going to tell you what I do because I'm embarrassed, but
we wear a blue eye, so the baby will have, you know, and we wear a blue mati, which is an eye to, again, ward off the evil eye. Mm. All these crazy, kooky kind of things. I've also, another bit of an unsolicited parenting advice is apparently you never leave babies' clothes or children's clothes out overnight to dry
on
the
line. That one. Okay.
I don't know why, but apparently it's important. Okay.
I wasn't allowed to buy any before the baby was born.
Oh.
No, that was a big thing. But I did read your Facebook post the other day where you were talking about what Greek parents say in public. I can relate to this.
And I kid you not, if you understand the literal translations of some of those things, it is, I will slaughter you. I will, you know, rip your head off and tear your hair out.
Yeah.
But it's kind of said in a loving way.
Well, we have the same thing, and I didn't realise that you know, my grandparents will hold their hand up like this, and you can't see because I'm on radio, but I'm holding my hand up as though I'm about to slap you, saying, manada, which is short for manada pishtagani. It's like me sleeping with the fishes at the bottom of the sea. And I thought that was perfectly normal to be told off like that.
Oh, of course
and
it
until
is.
The Godfather came out. It's showing my age, so...
And this is a language that would be used when you're literally.
It's perfectly normal language. Okay. And now I do it to my children. I'm like, I'm a natcha.
But at least
they think it's hilarious.
Like people, you know.
Oh, they know what it means.
But I mean, the people around you don't. So, you know.
This is true. So I can say it to them in public and they just don't have a clue. So,
what were some of the most annoying advice you were probably given? And you don't have to
you know what?
Norma
Any
here.
Advice? Because I think the best thing is that people will give you lots and lots of advice. Do what's right for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the best advice. Everyone has their own way of doing things. Do what works for you.
I have heard one bit of advice that I actually think is marvellous and I will be taking this on. A new mum had said to myself that people will come over and they'll all ask you, how can I help? How can I help? And she said, the thing you need to do, she goes, you're going to have so many things you're unable to do. She goes, get a whiteboard. All those things, fold this laundry, do this or, you know, whatever is that task that you're just not going to be able to do, add it to the whiteboard. So when somebody does come over and asks, how can I help?
Oh, don't worry, your mum will be there doing it.
I was going to say, I don't think you'll need any additional help with the Greek nonnas.
Let's give that advice to others.
Yeah.
Make a whiteboard list and that way if a guest comes, you can politely go, actually, that's lovely. There's a list over there. Pick whichever item you'd like and they can do one of those. I'm thinking, you know, there is some plastering in one of the spare rooms that I'd love somebody to do. There are some lights and probably smoke detectors that need changing. I'm too short. I'm adding these things to a list.
Do you know what? I think you are underestimating yourself and your partner because I think you're both super organised people and you'll be surprised. it's crazy and busy, but it's so much fun and it's, you know.
Fun. She said fun.
It's Joe, fun.
You're looking at me and looking at her like, what are you talking about?
Oh, look, it is. It's so beautiful. Fun. It's special and it never happens again and it's gone in the blink of an eye.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, who should I be trusting? Because that's the thing. I saw my mum with my nieces and nephews and the advice she was delivering was 1970s-esque child rearing.
Yeah.
Out. That's not safe.
Some of the things that my nonna and my mum told me, no. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, my nonna...
Slip them on their tummy.
Nonna sent my mum to school with garlic in her belly button, raw garlic, because she had a stomach ache taped into her belly button. I mean, you know, no. Listen to your maternal health nurse.
Actually, that is great advice, I would say.
Let's just say I've got this thing in my wrist that I think wouldn't creak the way it creaks had my parents just taken me to, and I was probably three, should have gone to a hospital. Instead, they brought a Maya, and that's a witch doctor, over to the house when I busted my wrist. So, yes.
So that's what my biznonna was in the Sicilian village. That was her job. So they thought they knew everything about medicine. Yep.
No, the maternal nurse is wonderful and neutral. They're Switzerland. So when your mum's giving you advice that you don't want to hear, just ring them.
But then I've also heard that they can sometimes be a bit intense in their advice. I was lucky. I had a good one.
You had a good one?
Yeah.
You're probably thinking of the breastfeeding nurses.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah. There's a few strict do this, do that. No?
Yeah,
yes.
I'd just stick with the maternal health nurse. You'll be right.
And I'll be right.
And if you have a mother's group, sometimes that you hit the right one and they're lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're really lucky.
Steph, I think you mentioned you had a good mother's group.
I had a good mother's group in Sydney with my first, and then when I had my second, that just kind of flowed on because we were all sort of having second around the same time. But then I had my third many years later here in Melbourne, and the maternal nurse said, you know, there are specialised mother's groups for older mothers, and I was so offended.
No.
Yes, that I was just like,
no.
Steph, how old were you?
I was 40.
Oh, we were all that age in our mother's group.
But anyway, so I didn't attend mother's group in Melbourne, and I was new to Melbourne, and it probably would have been the best thing, but I was so offended that I
would have been offended too.
I know. So anyway, so.
Well, speaking of offended,
my mother's group.
Speaking of offended, I have been reading some. I've been going to the books because apparently books is where all the answers are right and not social
media. I'd be careful about books.
Yeah,
too.
I would too.
I gave up the self-help books.
Me too.
You know what? There is a book here called Advice to the Wife, and on this chapter on raising your child, because we gender everything, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that really annoys me. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. This book here, Advice to a Wife, would like to tell mothers, new mothers, to not poison the baby with angry breast milk.
Oh, please.
Yes, I kid you not. This is true because, you know, and it's basically blaming angry mothers for causing colic in their babies. So, you know, basically anything that, any worried thoughts, you're going to pass on to your child.
Rubbish.
Well, my grandmother, not my mother, but my grandmother told me when I was breastfeeding my first son that one breast provided sweet milk and one breast provided savoury milk because I was having trouble feeding with both breasts. And she said, oh, that's because
Stop
one...
It.
I was like, oh, I don't think that's true.
Oh,
but
no,
she was absolutely convinced about it. You know, and she was in her late 70s.
Oh, God. Well, lucky I'm not breastfeeding because they'd be drinking gin, and we've already covered gin. Did you have any of that? So we Ouzo, we put on the gums too for teething. Is there an Italian homemade
vino
equivalent?
I didn't let anything like that happen. I just, no, I made sure I kept Mum and Nonna at arm's length.
Because they will do that
for that
stuff.
Kind of stuff.
They will rub a child with, I was rubbed, I mean, you were put out baby oil in the hot Sydney sun. Methylated spirits, you know the Greeks and Windex in My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No,
we use methylated spirits on everything. Because
really?
Apparently that's going to break everything, not paracetamol. God forbid you give a child paracetamol. Hideous. Frightening. Any last tips for any parents out there, Mama Jo? What would you reckon? Especially this gendering thing.
Oh, look. It's I would say just, you know what, you'll find you can't really fight your child much on what they want to wear.
Yeah.
Just give them lots of choices of toys and clothes. Just let them choose and give them lots of choices.
Let toys
be toys. It doesn't mean, let toys be toys and let clothes be clothes and let books be books.
And that's the thing. I know I'm a butch lesbian and I've already been warned not to buy a denim-on-denim outfit for this child.
You know what? If you have a princess little girl, there'll be nothing you can do about it.
Exactly right.
You should see, my niece will only wear skirts. She's four. Only wear skirts and skirts that twirl. Nothing else.
Well, that's the thing.
There's nothing you can do about it.
There is a photo, and I think I actually put it up on our Family Matters page, me in kindergarten wearing denim on denim.
There you go.
I was 4 years old.
Kids know what they
want. It's innate.
Kids
it
know.
Is, yeah.
And
it
my
is.
Mother to this day, well, not to this day, she has improved, but when I came out, she blamed me being a lesbian because I never wore dresses. She might have been right. But coming up next, we have some other great parents. We have the wonderful commissioner coming in to give me some commissioning advice, or maybe baby advice, one or the other. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.